Welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today is March 26, 2019.
The last Tuesday
It's the end of the long march.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The last Tuesday in March, actually.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So, anyway, we could talk civics all you want here, but I thought maybe today we could do is basically get a little out of town. You know, the show's called Cambridge Inside Out, so this is going to be a little more out than
in. Yeah, Robert's going to give a little stroll in the fields, which is nice.
Yeah. So anyway, the first point I would make is that one of the great things about living in and around Massachusetts is that it's kind of a historic state.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old state. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of history everywhere you go. And the remarkable thing is since there are a lot of people who are not necessarily from here, and even many of the people who are from around here, mm-hmm. don't actually know a lot of the history mm-hmm. that's all around them.
Mm.
And, I thought maybe it would be kind of fun to look at a little bit of that.
Yeah, you've done this particular walk a lot. But,
yeah, so, yeah. In addition to all the civics and stuff like this, I have, I teach mathematics, but I also have some interest in historic matters, historic preservation.
He's also an AMC leader.
Local walks
Boston,
leader.
Right.
Yeah, so there's actually a series of walks we do. There's actually a cycle of five of them. That are jointly done with the Appalachian Mountain Club and the Middlesex Canal Association.
You do five a year?
No. We do one in the fall, one in the spring, one in the fall. Uh-huh. But we cycle through five different walks,
locations. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I thought they were always the same.
Yeah. So no. There's definitely
but
five.
But the canal walk is the same.
It's no. There are actually we walk along five different sections of the old Middlesex Canal.
Oh, I didn't know that. Should have told me that.
Yeah, no, we can go there anytime you like, right? Anybody out there, just you want to give me a ride up there? I'll show you everything, right? So this past Sunday, on the March 24th, was the southernmost section of the old Middlesex Canal. Sort of show some of the imagery. Okay. Let's go to the postcard here first.
All right.
So, this was part of our advertisement of it, was this rather picturesque little scene here. This is actually in West Medford. This is something called the Brooks Bridge, and what you may or may not see in the picture is that there's a bridge going over something. Well, that something was the remnants of the old Middlesex Canal.
I was going to say, there's got to be water under it. Yeah.
So, well, at this point in the picture, there was no more water.
Because
the Middlesex Canal ran, it operated from about 1803 or 4,
mm-hmm.
depending on who you talk to, up until about the 1850s, maybe as late in sections
to as late as 1860. And what was it used for industry? Or?
Middlesex Canal was really, it was driven largely by needs for commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way of connecting the Merrimack River, which extended all the way into New Hampshire, and brought goods straight to the port of Boston.
Do you have a map of that, actually?
We do, actually. If you scroll down a little bit.
We'll come back to us for a minute.
We'll come back here.
Yeah, I'll...
Right? So that image that you just saw there was of the Brooks Bridge is what was called an accommodation bridge. It was part of the Brooks Estate. There's still remnants of the Brooks Estate there.
Is this a good map?
Yeah, well, actually, there's several we'll get to here.
Which is a better map?
We'll do both. So the thing is the Brooks Estate got divided by the canal. Because you have to follow a level in order to have the canal work. It's, because it's flat water, right? Mm-hmm. Except for where there are locks that change the elevation. So the only really good way to put it was to actually cross the Brooks Estate, and as an accommodation to the owners, they would build a bridge connecting different parts of the land, right? And that bridge actually was in the photo, actually existed all the way into the 20th century.
Wow.
And it was only when they did some housing redevelopment in the area, they put in a lot of homes, along Sagamore Street, that in fact the bridge was removed. Mm. And actually when I was leading the walk, I was talking to one of the homeowners. There are three homes, the foundations of which were built on the stones from that bridge.
Wow.
So next time I want to go into his basement.
See, this has 1793. It was started.
All right. So let's go to another map and talk a bit more about this.
Okay. You like this map?
Actually, if you click on, try clicking on that and just sort of see if it actually goes bigger or wider like that. So the Middlesex Canal, with the Middlesex Canal Corporation, was first chartered in 1793. It was actually the very first publicly held corporation in the United States of America. Mm. As such, there was actually a tract on the old Middlesex Canal published by Harvard University in the 1930s, mm-hmm. because of its role in the beginnings of corporations. They even had eminent domain authority so that they could take land in order to build the canal. Right. Okay. It was chartered by the state legislature in about 1793. I'll show you an interesting document about that in a little bit here.
But this is really quite the length here.
It's 27 and a quarter miles. And about a third of it is still intact in one form mm-hmm. or another, you know, which is really kind of an incredible thing. Yeah. So it actually connected down around Somerville, Charleston.
This
it
area.
Actually passed through
You were
Somerville.
In this area.
I was up by along the Mystic Lakes, the eastern shore of the Mystic Lakes, which is now the Mystic Valley Parkway.
Okay.
The Mystic Valley Parkway was, in
Mystic
fact...
Mystic Lakes is right here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the Middlesex Canal.
Okay.
And we actually, it arched over the top of it and crossed over and on its way up through Horn Pond, eventually making its way all the way up to the middle, the Merrimack River in what was then called Middlesex Village, right? Which is now part of the western portion of the city of Lowell.
Okay.
Lowell didn't actually exist at the time.
Wow.
Right? Actually, if you go down to the map right below here, this one maybe is a much more sort of a stripped down version. The previous one we showed was from a fellow named Wilbur Hoxie, who was a colonel, and he was a really incredibly knowledgeable guy. I've known a lot of the people who've been associated with the Middlesex Canal Association. Quite a few of them have now passed away.
Mm.
But I've personally been involved in one form or another for at least 20-something years, and I'm the webmaster.
So this is
one from a fellow named Bert Verplank, who was a wonderful fellow. Much more stripped down version, just to sort of show the towns that the Middlesex Canal passed through.
Here's the Mystic Lakes. Okay.
Right. So you see, there's the Mystic Lakes.
What's the red dotted line?
Dotted line is the route of the Middlesex Canal.
Okay, so...
Yeah. And there's just some demarcations for these various maps that Bert put together.
And what is the solid line?
That's just showing the widths of the maps.
Oh, the
basically,
width, I
that's
see.
All.
Okay.
Right, but it's the red dotted line, and it actually begins, it's Sullivan Square, Charlestown.
Yeah.
Now, what you may not know is who's the Sullivan of Sullivan Square?
I don't know. There's so many Sullivans that were in politics. No?
Well, the Sullivan of Sullivan Square is actually the first president of the Middlesex Canal Corporation.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because that's actually where it began.
Okay.
He also was Attorney General and Governor of Massachusetts later on. So went through there, went through pieces of Somerville, like around where the Home Depot is to this day.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There's a place called Foss Park.
It cut right
through Foss Park.
Okay.
Where the public housing is along the edge of Somerville, along Route 38, and over where, for those who know where Boston Avenue Bridge is, it crosses the Mystic River, right parallel
right
to where,
there.
There's like a Whole Foods store pretty close to there, along Route 16 and the Alewife Brook Parkway. Parallel to the railroad tracks is the Boston Avenue Bridge. And that's built on the abutments of an original bridge that took the canal over the Mystic River.
Wow.
Right, and then went up on Horn Pond, found its way, crossed over the Abrajona River, went up along Mystic Lakes, then went up along the Horn Pond, where there was actually a series of three double locks. And it was a popular place for day trips during the life of the canal. People would take a boat, packet boat up to Horn Pond for recreational purposes, and then take the boat back later in the day. But it goes up there. The high water mark was up at the Concord River in North Billerica.
North Biller, where's that?
Woburn
is...
Yeah, so it goes up through Woburn, Wilmington, it crosses the Shawsheen River. And I'll show you a picture in a second of the still existent abutments of the aqueduct that took the canal over the Shawsheen River and went up to the site of the floating towpath at the Concord River.
Here.
That was the high water
mark.
Here's
the Concord River. Okay.
Yeah, and that's in North Billerica, and that's where the water for the entire canal came from there.
Goodness.
So it flowed south toward Boston, and it flowed north to the Merrimack,
Here's
which
the
was
Merrimack.
Shorter.
Right.
Yeah. And there exist in pieces of it today.
Okay.
So just to show you, we still exist.
Yeah.
Just scroll down a little bit here, and we'll just sort of randomly grab an image or three. Right? So just to show you little bits and pieces here, here's another one. So today, this is today. I mean, I took this picture some time ago, but this is actually through a golf course in Lowell. And they've now creatively maintained a piece of the Middlesex Canal.
So that's it right there.
Yep, runs right through the golf course.
No one can actually put a boat in the Middlesex Canal.
For a while, in the city of Woburn, up around Route 128, there's a place called the Szechuan 2 Restaurant. Is actually, that was the home of Luamni Baldwin, who was the chief engineer of the Middlesex Canal. They actually moved the house to the other side of the canal. But the thing is up there, they are completely water-filled sections in Woburn.
Right, what am I thinking of in Lowell, where you can take the...
That's actually along the...
What's that?
There are multiple canals
Pawtucket
in Lowell.
Canal.
That's along the Pawtucket Canal that'll take you up to the Merrimack River.
Yes, I've done that.
Yeah, the Middlesex Canal predates all of them, right? And in fact, it predates every significant canal in the entire United States of America.
Really?
Yes. It's actually worth noting that, I mean, that's why I say there's this incredible history around.
Well, it is, 16 whatever.
Right.
We're so, older than California.
Right. So some of the original backers of the Middlesex Canal included John Adams, John Hancock. I'll show you a document about that in a second here.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, this is an interesting picture just to show you some of the remaining pieces of it.
Wait, let me just get there. Okay.
All right. So this right here, this is a picture
in
Billerica.
Really?
Okay. And what it's from, I think it's from Lake Street in Billerica. I think it's called Lake Street. I forget now. But the thing is that what happened after the dissolution of the Middlesex Canal Corporation, which I believe is in the 1860s, many pieces of the canal and the parcels were sold off and people built house lots and whatever. So there was a family, I actually know this only because I ran into one of the family members there 20-something years ago. It's when I took this picture. And I was speaking to him. This is the Gum family compound.
Wow.
So what they did is they had a house on one side of the canal. And as the family had children, they built additional houses. So they have multiple houses on either side of the canal.
That doesn't exist now, does it?
Yes, it does.
Really?
And they built these. They just put in these. These are not original. They built them.
I see.
And they built these footbridges
over the
canal.
Because they own this land.
They own the land.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they own that section of the canal. It's theirs.
But this is 20 years ago. I wonder what it looks like now.
I think it probably looks just as good. But I haven't
been
there lately.
Really, that much greenery and beautiful?
Oh, well, it depends on the time of year. Maybe not this time of year.
But not overdeveloped.
But the last time I was there, they had potted plants hanging from the bridge.
I'd love to see this.
And there's this incredibly historic Middlesex Canal running right down through the property.
But how are you allowed to walk there if it's private property?
You
can
really
walk
shouldn't,
along the
but
path.
I don't think they mind too much, but I just I was talking with them, so I just walked with them. Okay. But this is visible from the road, actually.
Okay.
Right.
I'd love to see that. Yeah.
Oh no, it's really great. I mean, it's all these really wonderful adventures you can take.
Yeah.
Right. Including this one here. By the way, just so you know, a scale of some of what was transported on the Middlesex Canal. Mm. If you've ever been to Faneuil Hall in Boston, all those big granite columns and the granite they built Faneuil Hall from, it was all floated down the Middlesex Canal.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, there's, as I say, there's just this tremendous amount of history just ready to be had. All right, so here's another image.
Wait, don't go there. I want to see the remains of the
of the Shawshene River Aqueduct.
Okay.
All right, so you go up to where Wilmington meets Billerica, you know, if you go up Route 129, if you look to the side of the road, it's like right next to the road. You see this? What you'll see is this incredibly spectacular remnant of the abutments of where the Middlesex Canal. This is actually taken from the other side of the road, looking toward the road.
Yeah.
So you can see in the background, you can actually see Route 129.
Sure. Yeah.
So the water here is the Shawshene River, and the Middlesex Canal actually came from left to right, right to left across the top. So it was like 30 some odd feet above the level of the river. So it was basically a water route over another. Almost like a river over a river.
So this part was an actual wooden, across this.
That's right. And in fact, originally it was a much wider aqueduct. Yeah. In later years, what they did is they sort of shortened the width and did some fill. But then they did this. And by the way, this was actually had kind of fallen apart, you know, by vandals. So this was actually put, you know, the stones were restored. And there's a plaque on the other side basically marking this as a landmark for American civil engineering. Arguably, civil engineering in America didn't exist before the Middlesex Canal. And it was parts of civil engineering were invented, at least for the United States of America, with the Middlesex Canal. In fact, when the Erie Canal was built in like 1820s, the Erie Canal commissioners came to Massachusetts to learn how to build a canal. Because the expertise simply didn't exist in the country.
So wait, before you go, this is then the bank.
The canal was going over the top. So what you're seeing...
Right, I know, but this is like...
There's a little dip there. That was actually part of the profile of the canal. It came across over the top and then over to the other, to the right side.
Right, but this is a barrier here.
No, that's a bridge that's not even connected to it. Okay. That's a road bridge today, a modern bridge.
Amazing.
Yeah, it kind of looks, it's of a similar style. Mm. But as I say, if you were to go up along Route 129, just up past where all the auto dealerships are in Wilmington and just follow up that away, that's exactly what you'll see right along there. All right, so here's another, just another little piece of a map.
The towpath is where they took horses or donkeys.
Yeah, so the thing is all of this predates power. There was no power on this canal. So the way
you could do anything.
So you moved cargo and passengers because you had donkeys and mules and big tow lines that would actually pull the boats along the route of the canal. So there was one side of the canal is what they call the berm. It just basically held the water in. Sometimes it was up against the hillside, then the hillside held the water in. Mm-hmm. But and the other side was the towpath. Right. So the animals, and the towpath moved from side to side at various different places along the canal. But the thing is, so you can go along pieces of the canal today, and you can still see visible remnants of the berm on one side and the towpath on the other side.
I think the Erie Canal actually is a national... historic. You can actually go along a lot.
I took my old VW bus and spent two weeks along the Erie Canal. I did a boat ride around Lockport, but the thing is that I just popped into every little lock tender's house.
Have they actually preserved the whole thing?
The Erie Canal has been in continuous operation ever since it was begun.
Wait a minute, so they still use it for actual, it's not just a tourist thing?
Yeah, the Erie Canal dates to about 1825, and it was originally called Clinton's Ditch because DeWitt Clinton was the governor of New York,
right.
And they kind of demeaned it a little bit, like Seward's Folly for Alaska, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that once it opened, it actually was very successful, but it was also relatively narrow. It was just enough.
True.
To make it work, but not
more. I think
there's
a bike trail along there. They've
multiple.
Converted the, yeah, multiple. I definitely want to do that.
Right. No, it's really kind of fun, actually. So along there, once it proved successful, but there were some problems, like where you crossed Schoharie Creek. It was actually right at river level, and when the rivers would rise, it actually washed out and destroyed the canal.
So
it was the only time it was out of operation for a while.
How have they dealt with that?
So what they did was, by approximately 1850, they rerouted the route of the canal and built the second iteration of it. Some of it was just they widened the existing canal, and other places they actually had to move it so that they could get a different course. Mm-hmm. And now there are these amazing remnants. I have great photos of these gigantic aqueducts that took the waters,
amazing.
Took the canal, Erie Canal.
I definitely
over.
Want to do a bike trip or something like that.
And then Teddy Roosevelt, during his time as governor in Massachusetts, and he keeps saying Massachusetts.
President.
Right. But he was a big, big promoter of canals as well. And he promoted not just him, but of the New York State Barge Canal. And that was the third iteration of the Erie Canal, where they canalized parts of the Mohawk River. They actually moved sections of the canal to up to like where Cohoes is in New York.
Amazing. Without electricity, huh?
I think they had some electricity by then. But so the modern ones are they're pulling barges. They're not horse drawn anymore.
No, but it's
right.
Is it?
It's still, so
water thing?
Yeah, so the thing is it's still done with locks and everything, and it's a spectacularly
amazing.
Great thing to visit. The locks are still operated by the same motors that have been in operation for over 100 years.
Wow.
DC motors.
They don't make them like they used to. They don't make them like you.
And the lock tenders take them apart and service them. I was hanging out with the lock tenders as they were doing it. It was great. They repurposed some of the double locks, flights of locks in Lockport. Mm-hmm. So this one is just more of a historic relic now of the original. And then they have the other one, which is these gigantic locks that they lift. They replace five locks with two in Lockport. Really great. But it has to connect to the Great Lakes up in Buffalo or Tonawanda Creek. So to do that, they actually had to, by hand, because this predates dynamite or anything, they had to chisel their way through.
Predates dynamite?
Yeah, they had to chisel their way, you know, human power through the Niagara Escarpment in order to basically get through to connect.
That's a whole other issue or story about who was doing all this work.
Actually, that's a great story, too, because there were a lot of immigrant people. This was a major form of labor for a lot of people.
True.
And there are many stories associated with it. But but as I was saying, Middlesex Canal predates them all. It's sort of the granddaddy of them all, and it's ours. You know.
So we'll show this.
We have that. So again, we did mention that about Sullivan Square. So here you go, look at this one right here. What you see is it says on the left, so you can see it says Middlesex Canal.
Yeah.
So it's actually coming in. And it's crossing where you see it says Bunker Hill Street. So that's really where Sullivan Square is today.
Right.
And it
here.
Comes down into this mill pond, a mill basin.
Yeah.
Right? So this is all along Rutherford Avenue, down the southern portion
where we
of
have
this.
Cassell and all those places.
Right. It's exactly right.
Yeah.
In fact, there are historic markers in front of the Hood plant that's there. And actually in front of the T station. All right, at Bunker Hill, is it Sullivan Square T station?
Is it, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, so anyway, it's all quite, I mean, you don't see visible remnants there, though they did do when they did an excavation there along Rutherford Avenue a few years ago, right on the parts of the Bunker Hill Community College campus, they actually uncovered some of the original lock structures from the Middlesex Canal. But just to continue a little more on that, so, there was actually a way you could exit from the canal right there to get into what's essentially the harbor and the Charles River and really the Millers River Basin.
Well, actually, this has all been
That's the neck. Charlestown to the right, Somerville to the left.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a great historic book about Somerville called Beyond the Neck because it used to be part of Charlestown.
Oh, what is this? What does that say? I can't read it.
Probably not actually sure what that is. But the thing is that they would then actually take the boats and they would pull them by cables that were submerged in the water across the Charles River, Millers River, Charles River Basin, pulling them over to the Boston side.
Which would be up here.
Yeah, which and unfortunately, just east of there. And it's not shown in this particular map here, but it would then pull into Canal Street in Boston and pull into the final terminus, which was Haymarket. Haymarket Square.
Makes sense.
Right? So,
amazing.
Anyway, so that's a kind of an interesting piece of
things. Well, it is the orange line. Is actually Haymarket goes out to Sullivan.
Yeah,
Square,
I mean, but the thing is, I was curious when I first came here, I said, what's the big deal? Why is Haymarket called Haymarket? Why is it a big deal? It really was the southern terminus of the canal and was a real center of commerce because you could move goods like lumber and whatever from New Hampshire and pull it all the way down to Boston this way. There's an interesting little, there's lots of history on this here. There are people, there were actually merchants and investors in Boston were the ones who were behind the Middlesex Canal.
Is that what this letter is?
Yeah, I'll show you a little bit of that in a sec. And part of that was that there were other people who wanted Newbury and Newburyport to be sort of the port, which is a tougher sell because
further away.
And also the waters and the channel out around there are much more treacherous.
Well,
Boston's much more of a harbor, I think.
Yeah.
But the thing is that there was a competition. The Pawtucket Canal had been cut just to bypass the Falls and Lowell. So then the Middlesex Canal came along and said, we would like that business in Boston. Mm. So they actually shortcut it and took the goods straight down in Boston.
Mm.
And then that put Boston on the map as the preeminent port of the day.
Interesting.
Right? So it's and just to connect this a little bit to Cambridge, and I'll show you the letter. We probably talk a little more about this too. The thing is that though the connections are a little more amorphous, once the Middlesex Canal was established, it came into essentially the Millers River Basin over where Somerville Cambridge meets Charlestown. then some of those very same investors mm-hmm. actually built canals around Kendall Square. And investors wanted to create a whole port in that part of here, basically to capitalize on the fact that this was all this commerce was now moving up and down this canal. It was interrupted by the War of 1812, I will add, though.
So that never materialized, did it? I mean, there's always been this, you know, it, science museum
it,
there. And the,
it kind of fell apart, a lot of the investor plans. Yeah. But the thing is that in addition to the Broad Canal, there was another canal on the other side of Broadway, parallel canals. There was a North Canal, which was parallel Portland Street, basically where the railroad tracks are now, mm-hmm. which connected over to by Lambert and Gore Street and the Twin City Plaza, mm-hmm. which was all underwater back then. That was actually where the Millers River came in.
Wow.
So you could take that canal right over there, right over to where the Middlesex Canal came in. Right. And just to sort of show you one little bit of more history here, just to show you some of the originators, the original shareholders in the Middlesex Canal, we have this
names.
Little document here, you know.
John Hancock.
You know, right at the top. Wouldn't you know it?
Yeah, John Hancock.
Right?
They gave money.
$40.
It says 20,
but then over the
what
right
the
it says
20?
$40. Yeah.
Okay.
Not sure, really. 20 shares,
maybe? 20 shares at
$40. 20 shares at $2 a pop.
Let's see, 5 shares at $10?
Yeah.
That would make sense, yeah.
But I love the fact that it
Oliver
was there
Wendell.
Just at the top of the Declaration of Independence with the name John Hancock. So this is like 28 years later, and there he is right at the top.
Almost the same signature, too.
Pretty much, yeah.
Look at this penmanship.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, yeah.
People can't write like that. This person is like a Trump down there. I could see that.
Right. Yeah, no, someone's actually crossed out right in there.
Right, but whatever.
Yeah, so there's Oliver Wendell, who I'm sure is a relation to Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Yeah,
so.
Amazing.
Right. So anyway,
maybe
we'll show a few more things in the next half hour, then we could talk about some of the more local stuff here.
All right.
So, but anyway, I hope people can at least appreciate why I find this kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've only been on one of yours, so I'll have to do another.
And I'll give an open invitation if anybody wants to go up there. I'll walk with you.
Just give him a ride.
See you in a couple.
Bye.